2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man has exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little odd lamb, which he had brought and nourished up and grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared or refused to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I've given thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moved over, moreover had given unto thee such and such. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to thy wife, and hast slain him with the word, the sword of the children of Amnon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and they shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. And for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sins, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah bared unto David, and it was very sick. The title of the message this morning is True Repentance Has a Price. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us overcoming power this morning so we can defeat the enemy at every turn. Please show us how to live for you amidst these dark times that are ahead. I pray that we will have the grace we need to deepen our walk with you as we live for you. And I thank you for being with us today as we hear and study your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Luke 5 and 32, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Salvation, saint salvation, is the cause. Repentance is really an invitation of salvation in the laying aside of our sinful ways. The Bible also says that in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One of the problems that many people experience is that they're not really sorry they've sinned against God. Rather, their regret comes from being caught in the sinfulness. Folks may cry, feel ashamed and embarrassed, and may even ask for forgiveness. However, they are not truly repenting unless they acknowledge that they have violated God's holy requirements and embrace His standards in behavior. In verse 11 of our scripture reading this morning, it tells about the darkest moment in the life of King David. And you know, church, after being blessed by the Lord by many ways, after reaching the pinnacle of success, after leading his nation to peace and prosperity and power, church, David fell into a deep, dark, despicable, and horrendous sin. Now, we all know the story. David succumbed to this giant named lust that lived in his heart. He committed adultery with a married woman and got her pregnant. And then in an effort to cover up the sin, David had her husband put to death. Saints, if you remember, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible also tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that lets us know that we all are susceptible to sin. Amen? Amen. Now, in reading 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 26 to 27, it closes with the sin of David hanging like a dark cloud over his life and over the nation. And it reads, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." Church, we know that God did not punish David immediately for his sin. But this does not mean that God merely winked at what David did. Sometimes, church, the consequences for sin will come long after the fact. But be assured, it will come. It will come to light. It will come to the forefront. Oh, church, God had a plan to reach out to David, to recall his life, and to restore him to the fellowship with the Lord. And the message today speaks about that plan. And I would like to examine the steps God took to deal with the sin in David's life. And what we learn here this morning will help us when we are forced to deal with sin in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. You see, church, in this whole ordeal, David found himself in a place in life that he never thought he would occupy. And you know, saints, that's how sin catches us off guard. And before you know it, we're head deep in the hell pits of sin, wondering how in the world did you allow yourself to get there? You know, saints, there's been a time when David walked with God and he sang praises to the Lord. And the Lord God blessed David's life in miraculous and marvelous ways. But now David looks at the remnants of his broken vows and he sees the shattered dreams. And church, he sees ruined lives and wrecked futures lying all about him. Saints, he has sinned and he knows it. But in the midst of this tragedy, God speaks to David. God comes to him in his sin and exposes David for what it is. Church, God came to David through Nathan the prophet and said, "Thou art the man." Oh, saints, I want us to look very carefully into this passage and consider the steps the Lord took to make these matters right for David. I want us to look very carefully between chapters 11 and 12. Chapters 11, verse 12, and chapters 12, verse 1 of 2 Samuel. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Church, if you notice, there is a gap between these two verses. And during this gap in time between these two verses, there is no mention of David's sin by David. There is no mention of David's sin by God. It says that God was displeased with what David had done. There is no mention of David's sin by anyone else for that matter. But this does not mean, church, that this gap in time was a peaceful time for the troubled king. And if I may, I would like to pull a couple of thoughts from the space between these two chapters. You see, sometimes what is said speaks just as loud as what is not said. Church, David hid his sin in his heart for quite some time. There is no record of him telling anyone about it. Oh, he knew about what he had done. Bathsheba knew what the adultery that they had did. And saints, you can imagine how their relationship suffered. Every time David looked into her eyes, he saw the hurt and the betrayal reflected right back at him. Every time their eyes met, guilt flashed back and forth between them. Saints, there was no joy. There was no peace. There was no anticipation of the birth of the baby. There was only pain and guilt. When we read Psalms 51 and 3, it tells it like it is. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Saints, Joab knew. Joab was David's army general who had orders to send Uriah to the front lines to fight in the battle to get killed. And worst of all, church, David knew, and he knew that God knew. For this is how it is for all those who try to hide their sins in silence. The Bible is very clear about this matter. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, church, this was a time of sorrow for David, and it appears that this ordeal in David's life prompted him to write at least two different psalms. One of these psalms is Psalms 32, and the other one is Psalms 51. And it is apparent that these psalms were written after David had confessed his sins, after David had been forgiven for God, and after David had been restored to fellowship. These psalms tell us that the months following David's sin with Bathsheba was not a carefree time of love. It was not a time of happiness and peace. No, church, those days were days of suffering for David. And oh, when we look at what David says in Psalms 32, in verse 3 and 4, in Psalms 51, 2 and 3, we see that David seems to have lost the song. Church, David is broken by the weight of his sin. He had no joy. His entire life had gone unstable, and he was suffering under the chastisement of the Lord, and he knew it. You know, saints, the guilt must have been unbearable for him. But here is one truth of the Bible, church. So be it for everyone who does not deal with their sins according to God's word. Folks, when we sin against the Lord, we can be sure of his chastisement. It may not come immediately, but it will come. And that is his promise, church. Revelations 3 and 19 speaks of it, and it reads, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Oh, saints, guilt, loss of joy and peace, and sense of God's displeasure are all regular companions of those who walk away from the Lord and refuse to deal with their sins. And let me say that again. Constant guilt, loss of joy and peace, the sense of God's displeasure are all the regular companions of those who walk away from the Lord and who refuse to deal with their sins. Folks, if we could learn to do it God's way, it would save us so much sorrow and headache. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Church, not too long ago, I was reading about a man who had a problem with his check engine light being on in his car. And when it came on, he had several options to deal with the problem. He could have ignored it. He could have broken the light, or he could have gotten it fixed. If he chose to ignore it or break the light, eventually it would have harmed the engine. If he chose to fix it, everything goes back to normal. Church, the same is true with guilt. It is the check engine light of the soul. When it comes on, do not ignore it, but take the problem to Jesus and get it fixed. in viewing verses 1 through 9 in the reading this morning, and viewing verses 1 through 9, you may wonder why the Lord waited so long to deal with David's sin. And one answer may lie in the fact that David probably was not ready to be confronted when the sin was first committed. Oh, he might have rebelled at that time, caught up as it was in his pleasure and the cover-up. Church, God confronted David, and he did so at the perfect time to secure the right response. And you know, saints, God is no different back then than he is today. God will use the same tactics in your life, in mine, and when things is over. We may feel like we're getting a pass for a time, but we need to be aware that God is working behind the scenes. And when the time is right, he will confront our sins and call us back to himself and cause us to have a right response. You know, God is awesome, ain't it? He's awesome. In our misery and in our sin, he will cause us to respond to him in the right time so that we can have our sins covered. Isn't that a perfect love? Oh, by the way, saints, all through the Bible, people never got away with their sins. Galatians 6:7 tells us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whosoever, or whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And in verses 1 through 7 talks about the shock of the confrontation. You know, when you get into sin and you don't confess it, there's a shock behind it. Church, God sent Nathan the prophet to a man that David respected to confront him. Nathan came with a story about a rich man with many sheep who took the only lamb belonging to a poor neighbor and fed a man who was just passing through. Nathan then explains the fact that the poor man's lamb was precious to him and represented all that he had in this world. Then David hears the tale. He gets very angry. He demands that the rich man restore the poor man fourfold, and then he orders the rich man to be executed. And finally, church, David hears the words that he never thought he would hear. Nathan looks at him and says, "Thou art the man. It's you, David. You took the only thing Uriah had in this life and then took his life. You had it all, but you wanted more. Thou art the man, David." Church, he has been exposed. He has been found out. The sin that was so carefully hidden away is exposed for all to see. You see, church, a traveler named Lust came to the palace one evening, and David fed that stranger, a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. Now, there's a price to pay. Oh, church, you never think for a minute that sin can be sexually hidden away forever. But God knows exactly where it's buried. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In other words, my friends, God will place his finger right on that sore spot and he will press on it. He will confront that hidden sin and expose it for what it is. And that will be a shocking day in the life of the guilty party. Saints, that is why it's so important for us to keep a short account with God. Amen? You know, it says that we all come short of the glory of God. We all sin. Every last one of us in here sin. But we have to come to God with it. Amen? And you know, there may come a day when you will have to confront a sin in someone's life. And we should that day, saints, do not do it in anger or in self-righteousness, but do it in the spirit of love and with a broken heart, realizing that where it would not for the grace of God, it could be you who was being confronted. In verses 7 and 9, we see the shame of the confrontation. Church, David is now reminded of all that the Lord has done for him. God had chosen him. God had saved him. God had blessed him and elevated him to the throne of Israel. And you know what else? God had given him more than he could ever, ever imagine. And God would have given him more, so much more, if he only wanted it. And this is how David repays the Lord for his grace and his kindness. You know, saints, we need to stop and think and understand that the blessings of God and the grace of God that we have been given ought to serve as a shield against evil. Amen? We ought to use everything that God gives us to shield us against the evil. Just to think of all he has done for us and then to consider how we treat him. Folks, the Lord deserves far better than he receives from his children. From us. From us. I can just imagine that our sins hurt God deeply. And I'm talking about every last one of us sitting here this morning. Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. Just look what God has done for us, church. He loves us. He gave his son to die for us. He saves us when we should have been cast away. He has been good to us, meeting our needs, lifting our burdens, blessing us 10,000 times. And folks, we act like we owe God nothing. We sin. When sin comes our way, church, we forget who we are. We forget about the Lord. We lose ourselves in the pleasure of the moment. Saints, our prayer should be, God, help us to consider what our sins do to you. In verse 13, it talks about the cleansing of David's sin. Church, when David hears his charges, suddenly his mind goes clear. For the first time in a long time, he can see the situation just as it is. And he makes a full and honest confession. And as soon as David confesses, church, he is told that his sins has been forgiven and that he will not be put to death. Church, instead of justice, David has received mercy and grace. He has been given and he has been pardoned. The time of separation of God is over. And he has been restored. You know, saints, this is how God always operates. When sin is confessed openly and honestly, it is forgiven by the Lord. David is told that God has put away his sins. Church, God took David's sins and put them away. And as far as David and God is concerned, they were gone forever. And that is a blessing, saints. That is what happens when we come to him for forgiveness. When we deal with our sins in open and honest confession, God forgives them and removes them, the stains from our lives. And that's how sin is to be handled, church. And when it is forgiven and restoration will always be the result. But you know what, church? The fact that sin was forgiven and cleansed away did not mean that there would not be some consequences for what had taken place. In verses 10 and 11, our reading this morning, because David had seen it, that Uriah had been killed with violence, violence would never depart from David's family. Saints, David had to pay a tragic price for his sin. He would later lose three of his own sons in a violent manner, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. You see, church, the sin David committed affected him, his family, and for years to come. He would see his maidens treated with the same disrespect he had shown for Bathsheba. Saints, his own sons would go into his father's maidens in public view. David paid a high price for the night of sin, one night of sin. And of course, that is exactly what God will come to pass. Galatians 6:7 tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked, or for whatever man soweth, what shall he also reap? The Bible talks about sin may have been forgiven, but the truth of the matter is, saints, the events that were started in motion has to play themselves out. You know, saints, no one sins in a vacuum. People might think that what you do affects no one but themselves. But oh, when sin, your sin, and the ripples that it causes touches everyone around you. When you sin, it touches your family. It touches your church. It touches your work. It touches your school. It touches your community, your friends. It touches everything. Folks, God will forgive the sin when it is repented of and confessed. But that which was started in motion will play itself out in your life, in the life of those touched by it. You know, church, that statement should sober all of us up right now. What will your family think? What will your church think? What will be the outcome? What damage will this do to the cause of Jesus? When we look at verse 12, it talks about the public consequences of the sin. Oh, church, what David had done in secret, the Lord will do in the open. Everyone would know what David had done, and he would pay the price in full view of the world. And you know, saints, this is one of the great tragedies of sin in our lives. It has the power to expose. It may be hidden for a while, but eventually the truth will come out, and the sin and the sinner will be exposed. The question this morning is, there is a high price on sin, and are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to see it paid by your family or by others that you know and that you love? And my prayer this morning is, may God help us to see how horrible sin is, and for us, you and me, to stay from it. In conclusion, I would like to end with a story. Once there was a little boy who had a bad habit of lying, and he just couldn't see to stop lying. Fed up, his father said, "I have to teach you that you are not to lie. And every time you tell a lie, I'm going to tell you to take a nail to the post in the backyard and drive a nail in it." Church, it wasn't long after the post was just about filled up with nails. And the little boy's heart was touched and said, "Oh, Daddy, I see what you're talking about. I'm so sorry I've been lying. What can I do?" The father said, "Son, ask God to forgive you of all your lies and then start telling the truth. And son, every time you tell the truth, I'll pull a nail out." The little boy started telling the truth and the nails started coming out. It wasn't long until all the nails were out. The father came out and the little boy was sitting in the post crying. He said, "Son, don't be crying. It's so wonderful. All the nails were out of the post." And he said, "I know, Daddy, but the scars, the nail prints are still there." Church, God will forgive our sins, but the scars will always be there. If there is anything to take heart from this sermon, that is it. Sin is horrible. It destroys everything and everybody it touches, but sin can be forgiven. And we thank God for that. Amen? You know, saints, there may come a time when you will hear from God to say, "Repent and come unto me." That time may be today. Jesus is coming back soon. And he's coming back for a people without spot nor wrinkle. Amen. Let's pray that we are in that number. Amen. And may God bless us and keep us until he comes. And remember, sin is not to linger. We are to go to him in his throne. And with a pure heart, ask God to forgiveness. Because there's not one lick of sin will be in heaven when Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, dear God, I thank you so much for your word this morning. I thank you for your people that they hear it, dear God. And I ask, dear God, that all that was said and done today, Lord, that it may permeate our hearts, dear God, to have a closer walk with thee. I pray, dear God, when the tempter has come to and we have allowed to sin, dear God, that we come to your throne in an earnest heart and mind, Lord, and confess it, dear God, with an open heart. And you said, dear God, you are faithful enough to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, you said your word, there's none perfect, no, not one. The scripture said that David was a man after God's own heart, but yet he still sinned. Lord, I pray that you watch over us, you bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, keep us awake, be watchful, because the end is soon coming. And Lord, I pray that each and every soul that's in this building this morning, that Lord, that we may have a right to go into heaven when you come. Thank you, dear God, for your word. Thank you for your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen.